From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, December 9th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do that Monday march back to work. Come on, throw those shoulders back, stiffen that backbone, put a smile on your face, and keep a prayer on your lips, and everything should be just A-OK. Not a guarantee, just a suggestion. That's all. All right, what do you say we get things started officially with...
The Daily Datagram!
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Like this, it says, he who laughs last thinks slowest. That's right, and that's why he laughs last.
You've got the brain of a four-year-old boy, and I bet he was glad to get rid of it.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Yep.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, to be sure.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Okay, then.
You might be quizzed.
Sure. Yeah, just go ahead and throw me whatever you got. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1968. Douglas Engelbart gave what became known as the mother of all demos, publicly debuting the computer mouse, hypertext, and the bitmapped graphical user interface using the online system or the NLS. So if your computer gives you trouble today, go ahead and just blame it on Doug Engelbart, okay? Do it. And it was on this day in 2008, the governor of Illinois at the time, Rod Blagojevich, was arrested by federal officials for crimes including attempting to sell the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Barack Obama, proving once again that we Americans have absolutely the finest politicians money can buy.
And his dad always said, a man who can't be bribed can't be trusted.
You are probably aware of the fact that Joni Ernst of Iowa, who is a Republican, but I don't know, she's a borderline rhino, really. She had some misgivings, some fairly serious misgivings, to hear her tell it, of Pete Hegseth advancing to chief of the DOD. You know, it's hard to look at Pete Hegseth's resume and not get the idea that this is the perfect guy for the job. He's been on several combat deployments. He's hip, cool, what's happening now. He's very well educated militarily and in other ways. I mean, he's very articulate, very good communicator. Gee whiz, if he hadn't been, he wouldn't have been on the Fox News Channel for, what is it now, 10 years, something like that? And all of his former co-workers at the Fox News Channel are saying, oh, man, this guy's never come to work drunk. He's been very professional. We all like him. So what's the deal with Joni Ernst? Well, apparently Joni Ernst wanted that job. Now, she too is a combat veteran. But the problem with Joni Ernst is she is a rhino. She has voted for so many things. I wish I had the laundry list here with me, but I don't. But she voted for so many things that Joe Biden wanted passed. And it's very hard to look at her voting record over the last 4 years and not get the idea that she is just a rhino. And what makes matters worse is the governor of Iowa, forgot her name at the moment, but she too is a rhino. So, I don't know. Apparently, though, word is getting around in Washington that if you expect to be a Republican in good standing, you will vote to approve Pete Hegseth. Hegseth as the director of the Department of Defense. If I were a betting man, I'd say he's probably going to win it. But nothing is certain until the vote goes down. And even then, these days, you know, with lawfare, that ain't always the case. Well, with all of this in mind, I want to play for you something that could be the most important 5 minutes you will spend listening to anything. This is Chip Roy speaking Friday in the Congressional Chamber, and I want you to listen to what this man has to say because he is so on target. You could take this a little over 5 minutes right here and just print it out, and it can serve as a manual for how to clean up this country. Listen.
I watch the Senate Republicans doing this dance of hand-wringing and concern about the president's nominees. The president was elected by the American people to change this town. He has nominated people who want to change this town. If you want to go overturn every rock of everybody's past and then say that they are not capable or they don't deserve to serve in a position like Secretary of Defense, as is currently occurring with the targeted attacks on Pete Hegseth, well, maybe you should take the board out of your eye. I'm not saying that we don't have standards that are appropriate in the advise and consent process. We do and we should. I'm a believer in that, in separation of powers. But the president also is deserving of the courtesy and the respect of his own party in particular, of the individuals he's nominating to change the town. He was elected to change it. You don't like Tulsi because she's a Democrat? Get over it. She's not anymore. She's a Republican now, but she was. In this chamber, I served with her. She was a Democrat. You don't like Bobby Kennedy because he's from the iconic Democrat family? Get over it. I don't agree with Bobby Kennedy on a lot of different things, but I agree with him that we need to fundamentally change our healthcare system, that we need to make America healthy again. I agree with Tulsi that we've been involved in endless wars and endless conflict that is draining our resources and undermining the men and women in uniform. I agree with Pete Hegseth that wokeism is destroying the United States military. I agree with Pete that we don't need to have endless wars. I agree with Pete that we ought to have somebody who's served in battle and understands it, who's at the top of the Pentagon, rather than the brass who, frankly, often like their ribbons more than actually doing the work that is necessary to defend this country. I like the fact that we have people that the president is nominating that will take on the establishment, take on, for example, the FBI with Kash Patel. And the fact of the matter is we have senators who are wanting to challenge it. For example, the senator from Iowa who's going after Pete Hegseth, or seemingly being critical. Same individual, by the way, says and voted for an NDAA that would draft our daughters and has been fighting to draft our daughters. And I tell her, you'll do that over my dead body. There will be no draft of my daughter. Voted for the Marriage Act to codify gay marriage. Went out to her constituents and talked about how the horrible Senate border bill was somehow a good bill and then scolded President Trump for opposing it. Voted for Garland for AG, voted for Lloyd Austin for defense, voted for Buttigieg for DOT, voted for Janet Yellen, voted for Ukraine's borders over America's borders. And with all due respect to the senator from Iowa, you're not where the American people are. President Trump is. And Pete Hegseth is. We have an obligation to change this town or we're going to lose this country. If Republicans do not deliver, if we do not do what we said we would do, this party will end. There will not be a Republican Party if we fail in this term, this Congress, to deliver. That's not hyperbole. It's true. We will go the way of the Whigs. We will secure the border. We will return order to our streets. We will cut spending. We will move towards balancing our budgets. We will nominate and confirm, as the president has nominated, we will confirm people who will change this town, take on the bureaucracy. We will listen to and work with Elon and Vivek, root out the waste and fraud, but do it ourselves. Pass bills that actually get the job done. We will undo the damage of the Biden administration, replace it with a legacy that our kids and grandkids can be proud of. Root out the wokeism, root out all of the DEI and the critical race theory. Kill it now. We will do these things or we will not exist. And we will organize ourselves as a conference to do those things or we won't succeed. Our job between now, the first week of December, and the first week of January, is to get our heads in the right places. They currently aren't there. We are not structured right now to deliver. And we have 1 month to do it. That is my calling. We are not here to take breaks. We are not here for Codells. We are not here for trips. We are here to get the job done.
It was an interesting weekend over in the Middle East as Syrian insurgents, in some circles they've been referred to as rebels, led by terrorist group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, announced Sunday that Damascus is now free of Assad. And there was a post on Telegram that read, "We declare the city of Damascus free from the tyrant Bashar al-Assad." Meanwhile, the rebel forces also claimed in their statement that Assad has fled Damascus. Where he is, don't know. But Syrian Prime Minister Mohammed Ghazi Jalali said the government of Assad's Arab Socialist Ba'ath Party was ready to extend its hand to the opposition and hand over its functions to a transitional government. And Jalali issued a video statement promising to go to work as normal in the morning and called on Syrian citizens not to deface public property. Quoting him, he says, "I'm in my house and I have not left, and this is because of my belonging to this country." Jalali didn't address the rumors that the president had fled, and the insurgents took control of the city after launching a shock offensive on November 27th. I don't know if you've been following this or not, but one very important aspect to this story was Donald Trump issued a public statement saying, "Do not interfere. Leave it alone." Basically, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, he just said, "What's going on in Syria? Let it take care of itself." Very good. Now, the HTS, that's the new organization now, has its origins in Al-Qaeda and is considered a terrorist organization by the United States and the United Nations. Although the group has said in recent years it cut ties with Al-Qaeda. Can we believe them? And it's just one of those things we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to find out on our own. But HTS leader Abu Muhammad al-Ghalani told CNN in an interview on December 5th from Syria that the aim of the offensive is to overthrow Assad's government. Assad was left on his own with his allies, Russia and Iran, distracted by other conflicts and the Lebanon-based Hezbollah weakened by its war with Israel. Now, Trump posted on social media Saturday in his first comments on the developments in Syria. I want to quote that. He said, "The United States should have nothing to do with it. This is not our fight. Let it play out. Don't get involved." Sensible thinking for a change. Great to have that. He's not even in the White House yet, and already he's acting like a functioning president. You notice that? My God, he's already meeting with foreign leaders. He met with Macron the other day. Donald Trump went over there to Paris for the opening of Notre Dame, the reopening of Notre Dame. And apparently, Mr. Trump and Macron had some cordial conversation. But when it comes to Syria, opposition forces have not been in the Syrian capital since 2018. So there is a history there. And yeah, let's do what the president suggested. Just leave it alone. Let it take care of itself. Let's see what happens. One of the things I like to try to do is bring you news you're more than likely not going to hear in the mainstream media. And I think I have a story in that regard right now. California Governor Gavin Slick Newsom is requesting $25 million for legal strategies aiming to counter Trump administration policies. Now, if you think that there isn't going to be a fair amount of sniping at President Trump once he's inaugurated in January, come on, just remember back prior to 4 years ago, the first term of Donald Trump's. My God, the sniping never ended. And of course, it started with the mainstream media. It already has started with the mainstream media. NBC just the other day did a hit piece on Donald Trump, and there will be more. There'll be more also from CBS and ABC, and I don't know about CNN. I wonder if somebody's going to finally buy CNN, either shoot it and put it out of its misery, or resurrect it as a more balanced media, MSNBC as well. But that's all pure speculation. Why don't we just speak in terms of the world as it is today? So this $25 million that Newsom is seeking is to protect California's Democratic voters' biggest concerns like reproductive rights and immigration. Now, as I tell you what he's doing here, you want to bear in mind how red California became during this last election. It even shocked Newsom. But he's carrying on as though that didn't happen, okay? So is Newsom planning to make a 2028 presidential run? I don't know. What the Republicans have to do with this next administration is they have to be so damned good that nobody would even think of voting for the Democrats in 2028. Okay? That's what they have to do. And there are a lot of things Donald Trump said he was going to do that really he can't do by himself. He has to have the approval of Congress. So I hope he has a game plan to make sure that Congress and the Senate vote the way he wants them to. You know, it has to go through Congress first, then it goes to the Senate. Anyhow, Newsom initiated this special legislative session that they have going there right now to secure this $25 million, all intended for legal strategies against the incoming administration. Now, this proposal aims to empower the California Department of Justice and state agencies in safeguarding issues like reproductive rights. You know, the stuff I just mentioned a minute ago. And his administration aims to proactively oppose federal policies that might threaten state resources and critical funding for disaster relief, health care, and civil rights. Remember, California is hopelessly extreme left, which is why the state has become so uninhabitable and people have been moving out. And I would be willing to bet you that huge red section that you saw went for Trump in the election in California, those are the people who can't afford to move out. And they need relief from that tyranny there in California. And the only way they're going to do it is to vote smart. But they've got to vote smart in their local and regional and state elections. So anyhow, this $25 million fund is designated as a protective measure following Trump's massive victory. I got into a little verbal match on Facebook with a fellow that I've known for many, many years, and he's so anti-Trump, he can't stand it. And I made the statement that Trump won by a landslide. And he shot back. It was not a landslide. You know what? The man won, and he won by a lot. It's a landslide, okay? And was a refreshing change, too, when you stop and think about it, from these close elections that we've had the last several times around. This election, the 2024 election, was a landslide. Now, Newsom cited successful past lawsuits against the federal government during Trump's first term. There were something like 120 lawsuits. And California expended $42 million in litigation. And when they do this, Gavin Newsom always used the rationale, well, California is the fifth largest economy in the world, the most populous state, the beating heart of the American economy. He has actually said that. In fact, I think he tweeted that. Yes, he did. Okay. And so he's got this political rationale for doing what he's doing. Now, California's political scene, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, or alluded to a few minutes ago, has been showing shifting tones. You had nearly 40% voting for Trump in California. That's big. And the state historically is known for its liberal stance. I mean, the last time they showed any kind of conservatism at all was when they had Ronald Reagan as their governor, and the state was running so beautifully back then. but they're known for their liberal stance, and they're encountering now more conservative leanings because people in California can't afford to live. Oh my God, the cost of housing out there is obscene. But Newsom's proactive stance marks a potential springboard for this 2028 presidential run. But he didn't challenge Biden or Harris this time around. And his actions may be aligning him for future federal engagements. Let's call it that, okay? Now, Trump fired back through Truth Social, criticizing Newsom's moves as hindering California's progress. And that's the way you want to play this game, this war of words. And meanwhile, Republican State Senator Brian Jones labeled the special session as a political distraction from Democratic setbacks in recent elections, highlighting the ongoing partisan debates. See, there's a side of me that really wants Gavin Newsom to keep doing this. Go for it, Gavin. Gavin. Go for it. If you want to sue the pants off the federal government, go for it. You're only going to spend more of your state's money. And this time around, you are more than likely going to lose miserably. And in the process, you're going to lose the support of your own people out there in California, because more and more of them are going to defect to the right. So this preparatory initiative reflects Newsom's solid intent to maintain California as a bastion of what he calls rights and freedoms, stating that any federal overreach would be met with legal action. And there's a lot more to this that I could tell you. I just want to break it down to something simpler, though, something easier to understand. Walk up and down Market Street in San Francisco today. It is heartbreaking. It's both sides of the street are boarded up. Very few businesses still exist on either side of Market Street, from the ferry terminal all the way to the top of the hill. Most businesses have shut down. They cannot stay in business with the stupid law about, $950 worth of material. Go ahead and steal that. We won't prosecute. We won't even try to arrest you. Go ahead, smash and grab, destroy these stores, grab up to $950 worth of merchandise. You're okay. That is not only pure insanity, it is outright immorality. And people aren't going to stand for that for any length of time. In fact, I'm surprised they've stood for it this long. So all that California faces, if they do not get smart and start voting conservatively, in a matter of time, California will be bankrupt. How many more businesses need to move out of there? Big businesses. Elon Musk is shutting down just about, but not quite, everything in California and bringing it to Texas. I mean, could anybody speak any louder than Elon Musk? New York City Mayor Eric Adams confirmed Saturday that authorities there have identified the shooter responsible for killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. But they don't want to mention the suspect's name to avoid tipping their hand, which is, of course, the smart way to play it. And then again, Eric Adams is a former cop, so this all makes sense. But since the video of the murder went viral, it's really captured the attention of just about everybody. So was it the murder? Was this murderer an assassin trying to keep Thompson's mouth shut? Was Thompson about to reveal something? Or was it just a disgruntled customer who suffered due to a claim being denied? And this is what all Americans want an answer to, of course. Now, as the hunt continues, Adams assured reporters that every step is being taken to prevent giving the suspect an advantage. You have to play the game that way. Otherwise, chances of catching this guy, I mean, he could skip the country. So the way the Gateway Pundit reported it, they said New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicated to reporters Saturday that the United Health CEO's shooter has been identified after a days-long ongoing manhunt. However, he declined to say whether or not they have the suspect's name, stating that he doesn't want to tip off the person we're seeking. Quoting Adams, they said, "We do not want to give him an upper hand at all." Well, the Gateway Pundit reported on Wednesday morning of last week that Brian Thompson was murdered outside the Hilton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Nice hotel. I've seen that place. Apparently, he wasn't staying at that hotel. He was going to the hotel for the purpose of attending a meeting, but Thompson was murdered outside the hotel around 7 a.m. He was arriving for a conference when he was shot at several times by this masked man who police say was waiting for him to arrive. Now, surveillance footage shows a masked gunman waiting for Thompson before approaching and firing multiple shots at close range, shooting him in the back. And detectives investigating the assassination uncovered a potential motive. Potential is the key word here. Potential motive, and that is shell casings at the crime scene inscribed with words that, the words were deny, defend, and depose. And, boy, that raised a bunch of questions. Now, Thompson's wife, Paulette, further disclosed that the family had received threats prior to the incident, possibly related to disputes over insurance coverage. Now, you can take those three words, deny, defend, depose, and very easily spin that any way you want. But it sounds to me, and it sounds to a lot of people who've already spoken out on the matter, that this guy had a beef with the insurance industry. How does the phrase relate to United Healthcare? Well, United Healthcare provides coverage for more than 49 million Americans and brought in more than $281 billion in revenue last year as one of the nation's largest health insurers. United Healthcare and its rivals have become frequent targets of criticism from doctors, patients, and lawmakers in recent years for denying claims or complicating access to care. So, given that point of view, it's probably not all that hard to try to figure out why someone would have a beef with an insurance company. But then again, ask anybody who's paying insurance premiums, be it property insurance, health insurance, car insurance. They all feel like they're being fleeced. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Mike Goodwin.
You know, but it's difficult naming your children. That's a tough task. One of the places that people look for names in the Bible. Not a beautiful names in the Bible. My name's in the Bible. But it's some other names. Probably shouldn't be naming. Your children. Like Judas. Bathsheba. Abednego. Can you imagine having a friend named Abednego? Like, yeah, that's my boy Abednego Jackson. Yeah, those his brothers over there, Shadrach and Meshach. Yeah, they're firefighters. Now I have my son, I got my boy. Yeah, but I feel like my daughter set us up. Yeah, because my daughter's tremendously different than this little boy. My daughter, she's polite, mannerable, quiet. But this little boy. Y'all, as soon as his feet hits the floor, he's in the room like, yah, 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 yah. I'm like, am I raising Busta Rhymes in my house, man? 6 o'clock in the morning, little boy go to the bathroom. Da, 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 da. I'm like, you don't sit your behind down, man. We're here trying to sleep. And I was concerned about the little guy because he wasn't as sharp as his sister, you know what I'm saying? It was a couple of crayons missing out the box. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Like my son, when he first started trying to speak, I wasn't aware of who he was speaking to. I didn't understand. It was like my son was scatting when he first started speaking. Just how my son would sound walking around. Yo, we didn't know it at the time, but my daughter had the ability to interpret that language. So my son running around to my skeet. And my daughter's like, Mama, Michael wants some grapes. I'm like, how in the world you know? Skeet out not mean grapes. I remember I was watching a game one night, he got a scat again. My daughter's like, Diddy, Michael wanna watch Law and Order.
Make it a great Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.